I'm going to put the recording on that I should have put on a few minutes ago. So here we are. I'll have to attach that onto it later. So let's begin. What we're going to do is do a short centering. Okay? Now, the reason I want to do this is because each and every time you practice centering, you'll be more centered than ever before. Now, I did this like 24/7. I don't know that I can recommend it to a lot of people, but I mean, I just let it play in my head. I listened to it in my car, every place I went, standing in line. I had a little Walkman when they were popular. Now it's MP iPods and things like that, but it's like I just did it all the time. Inadvertently, what this did was it focused my mind. It took all the chatter away. It was incredible. And on top of the fact that I was going into what's called the all that is, the nothingness, the place where your mind is completely still, those places where we can tap into our inner source. And so many times I would get there and it would just feel empty because I'd gotten to the silence, but I hadn't learned to communicate with that silence, mostly listen to it. I could certainly ask 1,000 questions, but I couldn't listen to it. I couldn't get the answer. Now, I got this when I was in India, and I was going to see this avatar, Sri Satya Sai Baba, and I was in this mandir where there was tens of thousands of people. And I'm thinking, oh, when he walks by, you can ask him a question, you know. But I can't. I'm so many rows back. So I spoke with some other people, and they said, look, get really clear in one mind one question you want to ask him, and then he will answer it. You'll get the answer. And I thought, well, that's kind of neat. And I could only get it down to two questions. That's me. So I said, you'll have to deal with that, you know. And the question had to do with, should I do healing work on his ashram? Because all of a sudden I became frightened about that. And another thing was about the validity of a woman who had told me she was born in the same womb and was this great healer. And I didn't believe her. And so I asked both those questions. And I didn't get any answer. I didn't know how to listen, see. So I said, well, I'll try the next day, and I did. And I got it down. Quieting my mind was very difficult. I had to spend hours and hours and hours just to get everything else out of my head and stay on these two questions. And the next day I said, okay. I asked the question. I beamed it with all my force in my mind, you know, and nothing happened. And he walked away. He was way far away. And I said, all right, if you, if I should keep healing and go pursue this as my, you know, life's work, then, you know, pull your right ear. And if you should, this woman's a fake, pull your left ear. And nothing happened. I thought, well, that was ridiculous, you know. how would I know if he even heard me? And these are the kind of things we go through, you know. And so then I go back to the apartment where we're all staying, and that woman was there, and she had her back to me, and she was sitting with a bunch of other friends that I made there. And so I'm walking up to the table, and she starts fidgeting, and she can't see me coming. I'm walking up from behind. And she goes, well, she cursed, and she said, darn it. She said, who's pulling my ears?
Oh, my gosh.
Wow.
Both of them. And she actually was quite an extraordinary lady, quite telepathic. She spun around and she said, it was you. And she pointed right at me. And, of course, my heart just started pounding. I was busted. Yeah. And I found out the truth. And I learned that the way God speaks, okay, may come to you differently than anybody else. See, it came to me through this other woman. You see. Now, what that taught me was to have faith. When you ask a question, whether you hear it immediately or not, you will get the answer. And that's why it's so important to quiet your mind. Do you see? It's so important to have that going and all of the noise stopped. And that's what the centering is all about.
Okay.
So why I can't express to you the importance of this first step. It's extremely important that you actually center yourself and get to that quiet place. And then we're going to learn how to springboard from there. That's why I call this Healing Foundations. We're going to start at that centering place, and then we're going to springboard from there. So I was going to have everybody share what they did with centering, but let's just do a very short centering now. So each and every time you do it, it's going to get shorter and shorter. So just sit there and sit open-bodied and just receive. Take a nice deep breath in and just let it go. Take another breath and feel your entire body and just let it go. As soon I know I'm going to the center of my being, the holiest of holy places, a place where all things are known to me. And to do this, I first visualize the color red. A beautiful red color fills my entire vision. Red is the color of the outer physical body. I just relax my body with each and every breath from head to toe. Each time I breathe in and out, I relax my body more and more. I just relax, let go, relax. And moving ever inward now towards the center of my being, I next visualize the color orange. A beautiful natural orange color fills my entire vision. And I release and let go all my emotional attachments to all people, places, and things. I simply presence myself in the now, for I truly desire to be in this moment. So I let go all my emotional attachments to all people, places, and things in my past. And now I move ever inward to yellow. Yellow is the color of the mind, yellow like the sun itself. I still and quiet my mind. Should I have any thoughts, I'd maybe just put them on a cloud in my imagination and send them away. I don't fight them or try to get them to stop or barter with them. I just let them go. Maybe I put them on a dump truck and take them out to the end of the universe and dump them all out. Or maybe I just tell them it's okay, I'll be back. Whatever it takes to quiet my mind. And I just focus all of my attention with all of my might on this most brilliant yellow vibration. Now, having left my three bodies behind, I enter into the higher spiritual state and I visualize the color green. Green is the color of peace. I feel peace welling up deep inside me even now. The warmth of peace fills each and every cell as I visualize myself corresponding and communicating to all people and all beings in a beautiful and loving and peaceful way. In this way, I can see how I can affect world peace as the ripple effect of my peaceful nature begins to spread to all those that I come in contact with. Green is the color of peace. 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 Now moving ever higher into the angelic and causal planes, I next visualize the color blue. Blue is the color of love. Love is the outward centrifugal force of the universe. It is the energy that creates all things. Whenever I need more energy to create more things in my life, I need only step into the action of doing. For love is the outward centrifugal force that creates more energy. By stepping into action, I create all the energy I need. Blue is the color of love, blue like the sky that surrounds us. Whenever I need more energy, I need only put out more love to the universe and visualize this most brilliant blue vibration. Now moving ever inward towards the center of my being again, I visualize the color purple. Purple is the color of aspiration. I go beyond thinking. I transcend all thought. I am quiet and still. I just know. I no longer need to think. I just know. Next, I visualize the color violet like a brilliant and beautiful violet flower. I am now centering myself. I shall sit in this silence over the next few moments and let Spirit lead me wherever Spirit leads me to go. Peace. 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 Soon I know I must come back to the everyday world. I allow myself these next few moments to complete my journey, as this is all the time that I will need. And to begin my journey back, I visualize the colors of the rainbow in reverse sequence, beginning with violet, moving upwards and outwards to purple, upwards and outwards still to blue, upwards and outwards still to green, yellow, orange, and red. I open my eyes. I am enthused. I am enriched. I am enlightened with the knowledge from deep within. I just am. Now just take a moment and notice your energy. Notice the energy around you in the room that you're in. The energy inside your body. The energy of your environment. And what do you notice? Either of you like to share.
You know, it's funny. My mind was really going there. But it's almost like the energy is stiller because I was able to kind of like wick the thoughts away. And just keep wicking them off.
Yeah, it's just a matter of directing your thoughts. Everything is energy. Mm-hmm. So if you're, notice I said don't fight the thoughts or try to work with them because then you're in them. Mm-hmm. You see, you just want them to go away.
Yeah.
Just let them go. And we're all able to do this. There's times when we're in noisy places and we block out the noise, like the external noise. Mm-hmm. So we can do the same thing internally. And you can have fun with it. Like you use your imagination that trumps any logic that you could possibly come up with. Mm-hmm. Just let your kid come out and play, you know, throw it up in the air, pretend it's a baseball and hit it out of the park.
Right.
You know?
Right.
Yeah. And the stillness. Can you talk a little bit more about that?
Oh, for me?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's just like a really nice, peaceful feeling. You know, I feel a marked difference between, you know, I've been working all day and then just taking that time off. And just right now, it's very, very peaceful.
Hmm. Imagine if you just took a few moments. Now, once you do this for a while, you can do it in just a few minutes.
Mm-hmm.
You can do it sometimes in a heartbeat. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
It's just that simple. And so you're in a, like I was working with this one fellow, so I'm going into a contentious meeting. So really, so just center yourself. What do you want this to be? Oh, peaceful, productive, harmonious meeting. And that's how the meeting went.
Wow.
It sounds trite, but think about how mindlessly it happens to the contrary.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to work hard at making things not work.
That's true.
Well, some people call that Murphy's Law, you know, mm-hmm. but it's not. You see, it's just your unconscious. It's mindlessness. And we think it, we call it, oh, it's my brain, it's my mind doing it. No, it's not. It's your brain on hold. Your brain's actually waiting for your heart to tell it what to do. Just like the sun switched polarities. We want to switch the polarity of our heart and our brain. We got to get these back into order. So our heart is what, and our heart, let's define that for a second. This isn't your physical heart in the left upper side of your chest. This is the heart that encompasses your whole body, primarily the whole chest area. It is the seat of your soul. That's your connection to the divine, to universal knowledge. So when I'm speaking about your heart, and incidentally, it's like it coincides with how I'm wanting you to listen, how I'm wanting you to do things. Okay? It's like I want you to be in the heart all the time. Listen with every cell of your body. Speak with every cell of your body. And when you're centered, you'll find that to be so incredible, so incredibly true. Be like a little kid. You notice when you talk to little kids, they're moving all over the place. They're jumping up and down. They're shooting their arms out when they're talking. Their legs kick out. They jump up and down when they talk, you know. And they're usually smiling.
Mm-hmm.
Because, see, they're listening to every cell. They're speaking their truth. It's such a glorious thing to do. And when we do this, there's freedom. Do you notice you feel a little freer?
Mm-hmm.
There's no other agendas restricting you. And as you become more and more centered, it's unfathomable. It's just how deep it goes. It's like looking into space. You have an unlimited, as Deepak Chopra says, unlimited potentialities. And I would say possibilities, you know. When you say somebody has potential, it's like something potential, something never achieved. No, just do it now.
Mm-hmm.
Why wait until tomorrow? Christine, are you still with us?
I am.
Oh, good. For some reason, your phone turned blue. Your little phone icon here. So and there was a great echo in the line, and it went away, so I thought I'd lost you, but glad to hear you're here. How about you? Would you like to share?
Yeah, I've tried to do this on my own, listening to the what you posted on your website the other day, because you have music with it and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
It's very centering, which I know is the point. but it also, for lack of a better word, it makes me very quiet.
Mm-hmm.
And, it's almost like it's like being in the heart of a hurricane. Everything is quiet. There's stuff all around you, but you're sort of oblivious to it because you're just in this quiet middle place. But it's in the middle.
Yeah. Go ahead. I want to tell you a little story. It's that you couldn't have said anything as a more beautiful metaphor.
Yeah.
It really resonates to me. It's like that's kind of amazing. I'll be really anxious to hear when everybody hears this recording how that resonates with them. I'll tell you what I experienced. I was in the ashram, Sai Baba, and I was walking along this, I wanted to go see this tree where he would pull off oranges and apples and candy bars and whatever he wanted because he just manifested them. And I wanted to go see. And I was walking there and I kind of lost my way. And I lost my way because I had gotten so engrossed in what was happening to me. When I would focus my attention inwardly, I was so calm and peaceful. And when I focused my attention outward, thinking about, oh, maybe I have to leave and go back home and I've got bills to pay and blah, 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 and on and on, it was like this ring appeared around my head of all these broken furnitures and boxes and things covered with soot, and they would swirl around my head. And then I would notice it. I go, oh, I don't want that. And I'd focus within again, and it would disappear. And then as soon as I looked outwardly again, put my attention outward towards what I might call worry or self-doubt or any of those types of ideas of thinking, it would appear again. So you've gone into the heart. What a great metaphor, the heart of the hurricane. See that quiet place, like Nancy's talking about, very still. Imagine... is there something else you want to share? I want to share something else in a minute, too.
No, I think that the only thing I would add to that is that in afterwards, as you're coming back out into, you know, the present,
mm-hmm.
The vision or the image that I created in my mind is with each color, it was like the swirl,
mm-hmm.
you know,
yeah.
thinking, I guess, more of a, you know, a swirling cloud, but each swirl was one of the colors, and then you would come out through the top, right through the red. It was interesting.
See, that's your brain sneaking in, you know.
Yeah.
See,
yeah.
When somebody says that's interesting, you know they're in their brain. You see, so just notice and see how quickly now the brain. I'm going to tell you this. I mean, it's going to be cunning and diabolical. Its main function right now, because it only understands and knows what it has experienced, or what it has been taught, or told. Imagine your brain just like a computer. It's empty until you put something in it. But then, when you give it something to do, it can take off and get it done. There is no computer that can match the power of our brains. And what I'm going to adjust that a little bit, the power of every cell of our body. Because, you know, I think I mentioned this in one of the talks there. It's like this: when the fetus is born into the womb, it is the heart that forms first. It isn't the brain that forms and then directs the rest to happen. The brain is like what my teacher used to call your idiot box. It won't do a darn thing until you tell it what to do. And if you leave it alone, it'll do whatever it wants to, without rhyme or reason. This is what you might have called scattered. You see? See how those words come in. See, we're quite accurate, but we're not having the connection or the understanding of why. And this is our, this is in fact, instead of saying, oh, God, you missed that. I mean, how could you be so ignorant? No, you caught it. So, oh, I see it, and I can actually see the difference. That's why it's important and good to share. That's why it's important to put these things on the table, because one of Nancy's words can help you, and one of Christine's words can help somebody else, and your words can help someone else, and on and on. And then we start to build a community, a foundation of healing. We start to come into this place where if somebody has particularly a very powerful lungs and someone else has problems with their lungs, they then share that energy. And the person who has the powerful lungs at the higher vibration trumps the lower vibration, and we begin to heal each other. And once we start healing ourselves, then we begin to heal more people and more. Now, when I talk about healing, too, it doesn't mean, oh, I broke my arm and it has to heal, or I've created this illness that I have to heal. It can be emotional, spiritual, mental, physical. It can simply be just knowing what is the truth in the moment, being able to choose that truth, and then being able to act upon it. What I was going to share earlier, when you talked about, oh, you know, the heart of the hurricane. It's like what happens, imagine yourself like there's this big spoke, you know, wheels with all these spokes, a big wheel with all these spokes. And in the center of the wheel is this little dot, and that dot is you. And that's complete stillness. And then you can imagine if you enter one of those spokes and head towards the outer rim of the wheel, and the wheel's spinning, the farther you go out, the faster you spin. And here's what happens in our lives. We're beautifully centered in the middle, you know, we're having a wonderful life, enjoying the sunlight. And, oh, phone call. Oh, gee, somebody's in trouble. You know, you've got to go help them. And another phone call. Oh, boy, one of your apartments flooded. And another phone call. And then you jump from one thing to the next, and pretty soon you're on the outer edge of that wheel. And you're spinning around and spinning around, and life is now running you. Now, here would be the way to look at it differently. You say, ah, somebody just called and they're in trouble. You say, ah, and you go back to center and see what it is that you can do to be responsible to them, which means you are responsible for yourself first, and then you are responsible to them. Like you might say, ah, that has happened to me once before. Here's what I did in that circumstance. And you give them your knowledge. And you allow them to make choice. That's being responsible to somebody. Or you might say, wow, I can come and help you right away. Or you might say, call this number. So you're being responsible to them, not for them. And then when the next circumstance happens, oh, there's a flood at one of your apartments or your home or something, and you say, oh, you come back to center, and then you reach out and handle that particular situation. So, ah, this is simple, call the plumber. So then you go back to center and you're silent again. Do you see how that works now? See, so often we're just drawn out to the outer edges of this spindle, you know, this wheel, and we're just flying around and we can't ever touch base. What happens is we become ungrounded. We can't tap into that inner source. We're spinning so far out of the outer edges. The centrifugal force of our thoughts is keeping us out there. And they're noble thoughts sometimes. Oh, gee, I have to help them. It's not neighborly, you know. It's unneighborly not to help somebody or have to do this for them. See, that's being responsible for somebody and not to. Or it sounds like this. Oh, I can't tell them the truth. The truth might hurt them, so I'll make up this little white lie about it, you see, and tell them something different. That's jumping out on those spokes. Now, I'm going to ask Christine you something. Can you, I think we might have talked about this, but can you hurt people with your words?
That's a good question, right?
And they can hurt you with their words?
Well, the answer before I started talking to you was yes, Greg.
Yeah. Excellent. We've made some progress, yeah. See, this is one of the ways we get out of center. We get out of our inner source. We get out of the God force within. We get scattered, unfocused. You see, and then we become doubtful of our actions and we lose confidence. And we did it ourselves. Nobody's doing it to us. One of the favorite pastimes of most beings is to make poor decisions and then blame everybody else. This is rampant in our society. This is why bosses get irate and mean and yell at people, because they've made wrong decisions, or they've made poor decisions, or they've made no decision. And when somebody else decides to take the ball and run with it, and maybe it doesn't work, they blame them for their inaction. And this happens in our personal lives and our business lives, happens everywhere. You see, when we get off center, when we get outside of ourselves, when we take our energy and move it outwardly, well, who's running the store? What happens is what I call the thoughts and ideas and words of others, the dumping grounds of the thoughts and words and actions of others just begin to fill up your mind. You see, we're these great antennas. We're walking around. We're like walking antennas. See, think of it this way. When we're centered and aware, completely aware, as I mentioned earlier, you'll know. You'll be less accident prone. Why? Because you'll know everything that's happening around you. You're actually doing it quite well right now based on the fact that you're around. You're still 6 feet above. And you're that way because you're able to negotiate through a crowd. You're able to drive on a busy street. Why? Because you're completely aware of everything that's surrounded you, 360 degrees. And when you're conscious of that, you don't get into accidents. You're less accident prone. Your life begins to work. This awareness happens when you are completely focused and centered. When you think there's nothing going on, and you've done this a lot, you've all driven down the road, and you get to your destination, you can't remember how you got there. You don't remember the streets, you don't remember turning, you don't remember some of the sights and sounds that you're likely to see, and yet you made it. Because your mind was so completely someplace else. Yet every one of your senses functioned perfectly. Who was running that? How did it happen? And you thank your lucky stars. These are things that we have. The brain says, oh, well, I did that. I don't think so. It only knows what it's been taught and what it has experienced and what you tell it to do. So you say, brain, take me to the church. And boy, it instructs you to get up in the morning, get your clothes, you know how to put things on, you know how to turn the steering wheel in the car and get in there and drive and turn the key, and that's your brain's function. It helps you to get through all of those things to satisfy the one idea called, we're going to church. Or whatever is your function. Yeah, stay focused in the center. Tap into the inner source. Get into that. Oh, I'm going to use that. I'm going to have to do something about that. Heart of the hurricane, yeah? What a beautiful place to be. You become the observer rather than getting sucked into everybody's pain, misery, drama, and despair. You just get to observe. Then you get to how to know how it is that you're going to participate or not. that helpful?
Yeah, that was good.
isn't
super
this,
helpful, yeah.
Yeah, isn't this something you can say now, I can be who I am? Yeah, this is who I am. I don't have to be what Madison Avenue tells me to be. I don't even have to be what my children expect me to be. I am naturally that. I don't have to be what my spouse or my boyfriend or girlfriends think I should be, or my school teacher. I'll tell you, in firewalking, it doesn't work at all. See, when I take people firewalking, you've really got to be clear. You can't do things for those made-up or trumped-up or what I call error-thinking ideas. Here's how it works. My daughter came to one of my firewalks, and sort of my son and several other people that I knew quite well. So it put a little bit of pressure on me. And she had stood up and announced that she wasn't going to walk the fire. She's just here to hear what I have to say. And several people did that as well, particularly this other elderly woman. And not coincidentally, they're standing in front of the fire, and they both all of a sudden hold hands and walk across the fire together. Never said a word to each other. You see, in that moment, several things happened. One is they had the desire. Two is they cleared their mind. And three is they absolutely knew that they could do it. If those things aren't present, something's going to go off-centered here. So then her girlfriend runs around the fire, grabs her hand and says, let's be cool and walk across the fire together. Not a really good metaphor. Let's be cool and walk across the fire. The fire was, we measured at 1,423 degrees. That's hot. You can cook anything you want, 400 degrees, you know. You can burn it to a crisp. So anyway, they ran across the fire, and she got about 8 blisters on only her left foot, not her right foot, which was also kind of interesting. The fire's 8 feet long, takes about 4 or 5 steps to get across. And of course, she was an attractive young lady, so all the boys went over, tried to, you know, console her and want to talk to her. And this is part of her game called trauma and drama that she creates in her life. So I sent all the boys back to the fire and allowed her to be with what it is that she needs to work through in order for this not to happen again, to get clear, to get grounded, focused, and centered. And come to find out, each one of those blisters represented something that she had done to try to please her parents or somebody else. She spends her whole life trying to please other people. And guess what? She gets burned every time. She does what she thinks they want of her instead of what is in her heart to do. Now, here's the most amazing part. As she uncovered those, all but 2 of the blisters disappeared. I figured she had a little bit more work to do. But I left her to do those on her own. That's called passing the baton. And that's what I'm all about here. I want you to build this incredible foundation, this healing foundation that I'm calling it, because that's kind of my thing. But it doesn't have to be called a healing foundation. It could be your truth foundation, the foundation that you absolutely know how to function from in a truth in such a way that it creates the wisdom, the health, the prosperity, the love, the fulfillment that you're looking for. And this little voice pops up and says, you don't have to look for it. It's here. It's here. And it is. So having kind of gone through this at least once, and I know, Nancy, you've done it before, but in you, Kristen, hearing the centering once, do you have any questions at all?
I guess I have one. When you're picturing the colors, are you actually picturing objects, or are you just picturing the color?
To help me, I couldn't at first picture the colors well at all. So I would think like a red rose. I would think like an orange itself, you know. I would pick objects that I was familiar with, and then I would get lost into the color. When I did the sun, something happened because I'd go like the sun itself, and my whole, it would just burst into my vision, and I couldn't, it was like pervasive, you know, because it was like the sun. So I used objects to get the ball rolling, but after that, the colors just came. And I'll tell you something else, too, like a little known secret. Sometimes when I'm so unbalanced or uncentered because I haven't been practicing, I let it go, I take it for granted, whatever I do, and then I need to use those objects again. It's whatever works is the answer, okay? And incidentally, you know, some, as I mentioned, some people are visual, some people are audio, some people kinesthetic. There's no right or wrong way. When you center yourself, your higher self delivers you the message in exactly the way that you need to receive it. And you do receive it. When you ask, you receive. So have this is an operation in building the faith in yourself. You see, this is multidimensional in its in all that it's creating for you to become completely focused, completely centered, completely in the silence, while you're completely in this three-dimensional world and functioning now as an abnormal human being, because you're not going to be normal anymore. You're going to be outrageously yourself. And people don't really care for that a lot. That people, you know, birds of a feather flock together. I want you to be like them. Misery loves company. All these old sayings that my parents and their parents used to use have great, great wisdom in them. It's as simple as saying, well, gee, if you want to be smart, hang out with smart people. If you want to be trouble, hang out with people that cause trouble. You'll get what you want. So it's that simple. That's one thing I want to impress on everybody all the time. This is simple. Our brain has this insatiable appetite. It's insatiable to confound and complicate things any chance that it gets. So yes, and that's a great, great question, because I don't know about everybody here, but I can get hung up on the simplest and easiest of things. Like one thing passes by me and on, I miss the whole thing, you know. And so to ask a simple question, the only dumb question is the one that you wouldn't ask. Because that's the one that stops you from evolving. And it creates fear and doubt. And those are the absolute tools of stagnation. They inhibit evolvement, especially fear, especially doubt, because they're like the same thing. It's the same vibration. So we're going to be focused on this beautiful and positive and complete, this complete vibration of your own inner power, your I Am presence within. See, next week, and we're going to be going into your a place where you can develop a conversation with a being, kind of like when you were little, you know, and you might have had your imaginary friend. Only this one's going to be extremely powerful. And you're going to build that silent space into a space that you can actually hear and converse with your own higher self, your own Lord and Master. The only person, the only being that you should ever be listening to. In your decisions, or in your, I'm not going to say decisions because that's of the mind, in your heartfelt choices for all that it is that you want to do. So each one of these experiences that we're going to go through is to build upon the next. So I can tell you, just pull out all the stops. Go for it. Tell your family you want to be quiet. Invite them to do it with you. Have fun with it. It's like, let it build and watch. And especially for the young kids, when you invite them to do it, oh my God, they just go for it. They get it. They even think you're silly that you have to practice doing it. But they like it. And you become like this powerful force, like a magnet. Like, here's two pieces of steel, you know, what's the difference between the two? See, one of them has all of the molecules aligned. They become polarized. It becomes a very powerful force. And when you're a powerful force, you're confident. People listen to you. You become respected. You become more powerful. And in that power, your inner power of knowing that you're operating in your truth, you become safe. The world becomes safe. Because you begin to realize that you're creating it. So really, pull out all the stops. Dare to be outrageously you. Practice. Teach your friends. Talk about it. Speak from every cell. Listen from every cell. Self-direct. Reframe. Start over. Just do whatever it takes. Like you heard me even a couple times here. I'll start to say something. Oh, no, let me reframe that. Or let me start over. Let me adjust that. Because what I do is I'm clicking back into a truth, clicking back into a truth. And when you do this, when you show that you're not afraid to do this, that's powerful. And it gives other people then the license to be powerful. And I have one great little story that happened. A long time ago, when my kids were like 3 and 4 years old. And the neighbor wanted to go, we were going to go camping. The neighbor wanted to come with us and bring her children too. And I just wasn't so big on that. And I didn't want to go through all that. So I said, well, I'll go ask them if they want to go because they begged me. And I went over there and I didn't ask them. I just talked to them and came back. Said, oh, they can't come. And I saw their little lights in their eyes go out. They knew I was lying. Now, they didn't even know the word lie. But they knew, and I just lost it. I broke into tears, and I sat down, and I thought, oh, my God, I just lied to you. I'm really sorry. I didn't want them to come. I didn't want to tell you that because you wanted them to come so badly. And my daughter goes, well, remember the time that I told you? She goes, well, I lied. She goes, it's okay, Dad. It's okay. We love you. You know, I love you. And my son goes, he was like 3, and he goes, that's okay, I lied all the time. He's trying to make me feel good. You see, when you tell the truth, it brings other people to the table. And they tell their truth. What I heard in, oh, I lie all the time, was, I love you and it's okay. He's trying to make me feel good. And then we laughed, and he even laughed at what he had said. Because of course, he doesn't lie all the time. But that was his love for me. What would you trade in your life for those moments? Keeping to yourself, not saying what it takes, not being outrageously you, not absolutely, and we'll talk about this more soon, but being absolutely vulnerable, open, on the table, available. There's something to think about. You know, when you're not centered, you're not focused, and you're sitting there stewing about something, you're angry, and somebody comes in and says, hello, good morning, you go, what's so good about it? So your anger is yours. Your joy is yours. Your sorrow is yours. Your peacefulness is yours. It's not anyone else's. Well, somebody could, this, look how valuable this could be, because if you're sitting at the heart of the hurricane, if you're focused and centered and not scattered, and somebody comes in yelling at you for whatever reason, they're angry, you put the glass on the wrong side of the table or whatever they're upset about, and you just look at them and go, wow, you're angry. So come over here and sit down. We can discuss the glass later, but let's find out what you're so angry about. It certainly doesn't have anything to do with me. And you can diffuse a discordant situation very quickly. Your mind goes, yeah, but that won't work at work, or that won't work with my mother-in-law, or that won't work with, you know, yes, it works. It works every time. Even if it's not received in the moment, the truth is the truth, and it works. And this is what centering does for us. This is the importance of it. You get to be the observer. You get to observe yourself first, and then you get to observe the circumstances surrounding you. And then you get to notice how the two come together. And then you get to choose what it is you'd like to do about it. And then you get to act. sounds like a long process, but it happens just as quickly as a reaction based on some unfinished emotional or incomplete event in your life of your own past. Then you get to choose joy. Well, I started just a touch late, so waiting for some people. If you have any further questions, I'll open it to questions, and if not, we will adjourn for next week, when we are going to be discovering the actual voice, how it comes to us in a way that we can listen, the way that we can hear it, the way that we understand it, so that when your higher self speaks, even if it doesn't come in words, you can rest assured it's going to come. And you won't mistake it. So learn to be quiet. Center as many times as you can. And this is like, for me, it was the rest of my life. Because certainly everything in my outside environment is still chugging along, isn't it? It doesn't stop when I stop. So this is something to be diligent and vigilant about. Like brushing your teeth in the morning. You could do it while you're brushing your teeth. 15 minutes a day, 20 minutes a day is 1/96th of your day. If you really look at it, it's almost nothing. So, any questions? I always do that and I keep talking.
Now, if we listen to that, the centering tape, is there any way to download it to your iPhone? Or?
Yes. It's sent as an MP3. And
okay.
I think Russell's working on some instructions and things like that, but I think it should be pretty simple as well. You'll be able to get this talk and the module, the centering, and this talk as well. And they're going to be. He's putting them onto the my website.
Okay.
With a link that you'll be getting, and then you can listen to them anytime you want.
Okay. Oh, good.
And you can put them on you can download them to any place you want to download them.
Oh, good.
Okay. If you have some problems, Nancy, just give me a call and I'll get us on with Russell and we'll figure it out.
Okay.
But I'm pretty sure he's getting that handled even as we speak.
Okay.
Okay. We had a pretty good system in place, then we switched it all, so here we are. Okay. And Christine, how are you doing? Anything from you, dear?
No, I'm good, Greg.
Okay, excellent. Well, have an incredibly beautiful week, and get ready, because we are taking off. Be outrageously you. Do what you need to do. Dare to speak your truth. Dare to speak it even if you think it's your truth and it isn't, because it'll get you closer. And you say, I said that. And correct it. Reframe it. Enroll your friends, family, people that are around you in discovering your truth. Let them know you're going for it. And have fun. Love yourself and be kind to others. Mm. So God bless. Have a wonderful week.
Thank you, Greg.
You too, Greg.
Okay. Bye.